Hi Emma, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you, Becca. How are you?
Good, we've had a pretty long break, haven't we?
We have, the Easter holidays are over, the chocolate has been eaten, and the kids are back at school.
We've still got some, I'm naughty.
I'm still taking some off of your hands if you want me to.
And what makes it worse, I went to see my dad and he went, oh, I've got one for you. And you know, like the massive, big, like Lindor eggs? He said, oh, I've got it half price at Morrison's.
Oh, bargain.
I went, thanks, but now my diet's completely gone out.
It's fine, I'll take it off your hands, it's not a problem.
But anyway, we're back.
We are back
and we're very excited. Joined by some guests today.
We are, it is another guest episode. So what we will do is actually hand over to our lovely guests and let them introduce themselves.
Yes, hand it away, guys. Tell us who you are.
Hi there, so lovely to meet you both. I'm Romy, and we have come from Cafe Milk.
And I'm Amy, and I'm also
from Cafe Milk.
Really? Well, thank you for joining us today. It's something we wanted you on for a long time because it's such an important topic to us, and we know how valuable you are in the area supporting women. So I guess should we start with maybe let us know who you are and what you do, I guess. Should we start with that?
Yeah, sure. So we are trustees for the charity Cafe Milk. We're also both peer supporters at the cafe. And Cafe Milk is a charity and we run three breastfeeding drop-in cafes. There's one in Hawley, one in Redhill and one in Caterham. And we run during term times, and mums can drop in and get some support about breastfeeding.
Amazing. Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And I suppose you said about the three areas, is that every week, isn't it? Every week in each area, is that right?
Yes, so Hawley is on Monday 10 till 12 and Redhill is Wednesday 10 till 12 and Caterham is Thursday 10 till 12 and we run during term time. And during the summer holidays, we run a few sessions throughout the holidays so that there isn't that huge gap in support.
Yeah.
But we're not every week during school holidays.
Ad hoc sort of dates throughout the holidays.
Yeah, we normally try to run probably five or six sessions over school holidays.
Okay, that's really great. It's really useful to have a free resource locally for mums to be able to go and get that breastfeeding support without having to worry about the costs of kind of going to a lactation consultant as the first port of call, which I know that some families I work with always think, well, my options are the hospital or sort of private, in inverted commas, care without necessarily understanding that there are quite a lot of options. That's 3 days a week. That's almost, if you're struggling one day, the likelihood is you've either got a session to go to that day or at least within the next day or two. Especially in those early days of breastfeeding, you want that support as kind of quick as you can get hold of it.
Every day kind of counts when you're really struggling in those early days, doesn't it?
And knowing there's somewhere you can go to, like Emma says, that day or the next day on a weekly basis, it makes them emotionally feel better, thinking I'm not alone, there's somewhere I can actually go to.
I'm in Hawley on a Monday and I quite often say to mums, if you're really struggling this week, don't forget you can go to Redhill on a Wednesday or Caterham on a Thursday. And it kind of just helps them to feel like that support is there throughout the week. So
And also to be able to feel that they can come back the next week and tell us how it's gone.
Yeah.
Which is always really lovely. Because then you sort of continuity of care.
This better actually, we're still not quite sure on this, and also doing this right, like
absolutely.
You've got the same familiar face that spoke to you the week before.
Absolutely.
Building on that. That's so good. And what sort of the format? So obviously a mum turns up, what can she expect when she turns up to the session? What's kind of the format of the
So the session is usually run they're all 10 o'clock till 12. We usually suggest if there's sort of a pressing issue that you really want, proper sort of help with, to come early as possible so that you're definitely going to get seen by the breastfeeding counsellor. There's usually somebody from health, so health is there as well. We have a really good relationship with health and peer supporters who are mums with breastfeeding training. Not as extensive as a breastfeeding counsellor, but they are trained to sort of listen and support.
And every session has a breastfeeding counsellor as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we usually have two or three peer supporters just to make it feel sort of very nice and friendly and welcoming.
So you'd usually arrive and you'd be signed in by a peer supporter. They would ask you if you needed help with something that day, because not all mums come because they have a problem. Some mums just come for the social support, and that's absolutely fine, and they're very welcome. And then once you're signed in, we would ask you if it's your first visit. If it's your first visit, there's a form that you would fill in. It's not very long, just with some details about you and your baby and kind of any issues that you wanted to talk about today. And then we'd offer you a drink maybe, and then we would get you sat down and settled from there. And then there's other mums to have a chat to, and we would come round and talk to you if you have any problems, and potentially refer you on to the breastfeeding counsellor or onto the health visitor if we think that they might be better to help you with your issue.
Yeah.
Some of our peer supporters bring their kids as well.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And most of them have used, you know, cafe milk in the past for breastfeeding support. So the whole model is, you know, the volunteers come back and then give back. And
That's really, really nice.
And we were having a quick chat before we clicked record, but cafe milk is not a new addition to Redhill and the surrounding areas. It's been around for quite a while.
So cafe milk started out as Baby Cafe, and we were licensed actually under NCT. So that was about 2007, 2008 was when they started there.
Didn't realise it was that long ago, actually.
So in 2010, we became supported by the children's centres, the local family centres, and they funded us to keep running them. Which was great.
So that's now getting on for 40 years, is that right?
However, the funding got pulled, and a group of mums from the cafe created a CIC and kept them going.
Because all of our venues were in the children's centres as well, so when the children's centres were all closed, we lost the funding and we also lost the venues that we were based in. So this group of mums said, no, we can't let this close, it's too important. Set up as a group to find venues and find funding. And then we changed our names to Cafe Milk. And we've been running ever since in the YMCA in Horley at the moment, the Harlequin in Redhill, and Oak Hall Church in Caterham. So the Harlequin obviously have their issues with the venue at the moment, and they're closed. So they have a pop-up in the Belfry, and they're really kindly accommodated us there.
It's on the upper level of the Belfry, isn't it, I think?
Upper level. Children's
Trust charity shop, isn't it? It's next to that.
Right.
So nice and accessible. And actually what's really nice is the three areas are, they geographically cover quite a wide area in East Surrey, don't they, really? It's not like they're all in one spot. They're all spread apart. And they're all accessible as well.
Yeah. That's the idea.
Accessible.
Everyone's welcome.
That was going to be my next question. Is there sort of a limit, not quite the right word, but sort of on how young babies can be or how old babies can be?
Not at all. No.
We support mums with very tiny babies, right up to, you know, mums with older toddlers who might be thinking about weaning and going back to work. We have all ages of babies in, really, don't we? And it doesn't matter how you're feeding your baby. So if you're bottle feeding your baby, you're really welcome. If you're combination feeding your baby, you're very welcome. And we can help with some mums find that combination feeding can be a little bit tricky. You want to bottle feed, but you also want to protect your milk supply. So we can offer some advice about ways to bottle feed that will help to have less of an impact on your milk supply and things like that. And any way that you feed your baby, you're very welcome. But what we do want to make sure is that anyone that comes to the cafe receives evidence-based information so that she can make the decision that's best for her. The worst thing for me, I think we know that a lot of mums stop breastfeeding before they want to. What we want to make sure is that mums have all the evidence-based information so that if they do decide to choose to stop breastfeeding, that's because it's their decision rather than because they don't have the support that they need to carry on.
That's really, really important.
Yeah. Giving them the choice and the freedom and say, right, go away, have a think, do your research. And giving them the freedom to choose based on that advice, really.
Exactly. And sort of also helping to sort of be, like Romy says, you know, be a big community, a village where breastfeeding is normalised and women can come. You know, often women, mothers come to Cafe Milk and it might be the first time that they breastfed in public. And it can be a really nice kind of way for them to do that for the first time. Because you forget, you know, if you've fed your babies for quite a long time, you're quite comfortable and you'll feed anywhere. And you're, if someone challenges you, you kind of got some wisecrack and things to say back to them. But you, if you remember, like, that first time that you fed in public and how daunting it was.
Yeah, especially when they're tiny. Yeah. It's that little bit fiddlier where you're both still learning.
Exactly. I did my first public feed in a service station on the M6. And I was so terrified. So, you know, even just being, you know, if you've just had your baby and you're breastfeeding and you're feeling really worried about getting out and about, you could come to one of the cafes and just come and have a cup of tea and feed around mums who are all feeding, and it feels more normal, and, you know, it takes away some of that anxiety that you might have about those first feeds.
Yeah, get that practice in. Yeah. Once you've done it a few times in public, it becomes second nature.
Exactly. Yeah, getting that initial. And it's so sad that this day and age, it's still, even now, still that sort of stigma, isn't it? Public stigma about breastfeeding in public. And it's sad that you think this modern age, that's still an issue for mums, and feeling that insecurity and feeling judged or feeling like, you know, they're being frowned upon for doing it in public. It's sad, really, isn't it, that we're still in that sort of... But places like Cafe Milk, like you say, are a really good step to build that confidence and say, actually, no, get out there, you're safe, it's okay. Yeah. Just giving that initial confidence boost, like Emma says, before they go out and feel more secure. It's just that sort of safe haven, isn't it, to start with.
Absolutely, and it's really lovely for new mums to see, you know, more experienced breastfeeding mums, different positions and things like that.
Yeah, and how it does get easier. If you are having a tough time, ultimately, I imagine more of the mums you see coming through in the early days are because they are having a tougher time. When you see the kind of, you know, the mums with the 9-month-old baby who, let's be honest, by that point are practically just free going at the school. They're really supporting that. They're doing their thing. They know what they're doing. You know what you're doing. It kind of gives you some reassurance of, okay, isn't always going to be so... stressful. It is going to be easier.
Yeah, because we have that like cafe style model where all the mums are sitting around and having a chat. You know, you might not be necessarily asking for advice about something, but you might be talking to other people who are there for advice about a particular thing that comes up, and so you can kind of, the mums can support each other, but also you might. You might hear a conversation about a 4-month-old where they're really distractible when they're feeding, and you're feeding your tiny baby, and you don't think it's relevant to you. But in the future, you might think, "Oh, I do remember that conversation that I had." You know, and we see a lot of mums around 4 months, don't we? You know, where the babies are just so interested in what's going on. That's quite a common time for them to isn't it?
Yeah. Their confidence is dipping a little bit as well. Yeah. Feeds are getting quicker, so mums are worried that are they getting enough.
And that tricky bit where they're starting to wean when they're sort of 5-6 months, and then say you've sort of got that difficulty of how much they need food and how much milk and how much, and I suppose you get mums come in for that, say, help, we're at this weaning stage, what do we do from here?
And sometimes it can have an impact on them if, you know, baby takes to weaning really, really quickly and they start to have sort of 3 meals a day really quickly. It can have an impact on her supply being too much for what baby needs at that point. So sometimes there's a bit of a juggling act at that point. So, yeah, 6 months is also a good time. And one thing that we can do if mums come in around that age is our health visitors also run weaning workshops. Yeah. So we can get them referred onto a weaning workshop with the health visiting team as well. So that's another thing that we can do.
Brilliant. I've also really noticed that mums also come back around the time they're going back to work.
They just need
that little bit of support.
What's the juggle going to look like?
But you don't actually have to stop. Lots of mums worry that moment they go back to work is when they have to stop breastfeeding. It's just, getting up and getting a bit of
And a big, I guess a big topic for me and Em, because we've both experienced it with us, is obviously tongue tie is a massive thing for us, isn't it? And I guess... you probably get mums turn up to you with that to say, "Oh, we think our baby's tongue tie. What do we do?" So I guess it's good for a health visitor there. You can say, "Right, let's have a chat."
We get tongue tie is quite common in the cafe, and we find that just having a health visitor there to be able to say, okay, we can't diagnose in the cafe, but our breastfeeding counsellors are really experienced. You know, we can look at everything that's going on, look at it holistically and say, these are the issues that you're having and the things that we've seen point to potentially a tongue tie. There's our health visitor. We'll put you to chat to her. We'll get the referral done and it will all be done. So you will walk in with a problem and you will leave knowing that there's a path that you're going to take and hopefully a solution. Yeah.
That was the issue. Are you able to do that referral through the NHS?
Yes, sorted, not in-house, but you're able to get that. Yeah, we have a help, someone from the health team, and a health visitor or nursery nurse at all of our sessions so that they can do that referral and they can...
Which is, I think, why it's so valuable having that relationship with health.
Yeah, definitely. Having a team effort almost from all the different elements. Mm. You've got the support that the hospital offer in those very few early days, but you've also got other options to go and seek another person's opinion or a different set of eyes to look at you in the same way. Mm. You can go back to the hospital, you can go to your health visitor, whoever it is.
But you just go away a bit more informed.
We can give you all the information that you need. We can signpost you to where you need to go if there's something, you know, you might need to go back to your GP for something, or you know, we can give you all the information that you might need to be able to walk out and feel like you hopefully have a solution, or if not a solution, of some things to try, you know, something, you know, some good ideas to,
try. Good, like you said, evidence-based advice that is letting you make that decision, but also giving you that kind of, like, the internet is an amazing resource. It's full of so much information, both for the good and the bad, and even... With the best will in the world, if you sit down on your laptop to try and you're sitting there in the middle of the night when you're struggling on your phone and you read two different websites and they said completely different things to each other, you end up on sort of a really American website where they tend to have slightly different advice about this. It's so confusing. But going having an actual human being who can look at you, look at your baby, listen to how your life works, how you want feeding to work for you, it's just, it was a cafe milk in those days because my children are a bit older than that. It must have been a baby cafe at that time. But both of my children and my breastfeeding was supported by going in and talking, being like, just help me, this is sore, this doesn't feel right, or why does my baby keep choking because I spray him with milk all over his face? What's going on? This isn't how the movie told me it would look.
None of it's how the movies tell you it would look, though, is it? You know, it's so different from anything that you see on TV. And if you're not surrounded by people who breastfeed, you might be, I was the first of my friends to have a baby, really. So didn't really know what I was doing. And it was exactly like you said, you know, in the middle of the night on Google, like just trying to find everything. You know, you'd spend hours and hours searching, and by the time you'd worked out what might be going on, they weren't doing that anymore. They were doing something else. There's like you said, there's so much information out there.
Too much information.
I think, so I do a little bit of postnatal breastfeeding things, but most of the women that come to me, often, actually, all they need is a little bit of reassurance. There's nothing wrong, there's nothing, they're not doing right, there's all, maybe a slight adjustment, or why don't you try holding your baby this way, see if that's a bit more comfortable, why don't you try seeing a bit, like, little things, but actually mostly what they tend to need is, you're doing really well, you're like, everything is fine, just persevere, try this, and actually just having that,
it's a lot of reassurance.
Everything is all right, you're gonna be okay.
I think most of us need that in the beginning, don't we? Especially when you're still very hormonal in the early stages and tired and sleep deprivation, everything seems 10 times worse. So actually seeing someone in person and say, help me, you know, chat to me, they're going to walk away feeling so much better, or just emotionally better, you know, as well.
But baby cafe in the early days, I used to go, breastfeeding was actually going fine, but I would go and just have a good old cry to the health visitor. I was so tired. So it's not just breastfeeding, there was so much emotional support.
I got involved. I actually had my first baby in London and didn't find any breastfeeding support. Maybe it was out there, but I didn't find it. And then I'd moved to Surrey and I had my second daughter, and so I actually heard about cafe milk, or baby cafe as it was then, and thought, that's amazing, I wish that there'd been something around. And when the opportunity came up to train to be a peer supporter, I just thought, actually, I want to be the person that I needed at that point in my life, you know, that would just kind of metaphorically scoop you up a little bit and say, what's going on, and can we just, someone to listen to you and to sometimes reassure you that everything is normal and it's okay. And someone to say, do you know what, mine fed all the time as well, and I felt like I didn't have enough milk, or you know, all those normal worries that we have. And we kind of do that, and a lot of what we do is reassuring mums that it's okay and it's quite normal, and it can feel like all you do is feed your baby. But at the same time, we can, you know, we're checking that there isn't anything else that's going on that's causing, you know, there isn't something that's unresolved that we need to look at. And it can sometimes just be like a really simple tweak in a position in the breastfeeding counsellor might say, we just try it like this, and the mum will go, Oh, that feels different, you know. That's hard to get off the internet and videos.
Of course, and to follow your gut instincts, because you've come for a reason. That there's you need, you know, you're there for something, whether it's reassurance or whether there's something that you need to look into or see your GP or seek further support.
It's how we're designed to mother, is in that whole, you know, it takes a village kind of thing. Absolutely. I was the first in my group of friends to have a baby.
I think
my mother had a particularly breastfed. We're actually going back. I was like, oh, there's some similarities here, but she hadn't fed. I didn't have that around me. But if you don't have somebody that you know you can go to and give you that kind of gentle support, it is really tricky. We're designed to get advice and information from the people around
definitely.
Us. If you don't have it, you might just need to go and find it.
And even if you do have it, you know, the information about feeding and what we know about breastfeeding has changed a lot over the years, hasn't it? So it might always be that well-meaning family member that might give you some advice, and they with all the will in the world, they're trying to help you. It might not always be the most up-to-date information.
You've always got a granny that says, you know, have a pint of Guinness, that will get you next. I don't think that's on any of the modern guidelines.
No, they can't possibly be hungry again.
My dad used to say that, actually. Yeah, that Guinness. Oh, there's plenty of iron in it, and it would give them lots of iron. And I think the trick was to get them to sleep, really. I think it was a tactic to actually get the baby to sleep.
Sleep comes up a lot as well, doesn't it? We support a lot with sleep. It's such a big issue, isn't it?
Do you know, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about how many women we also supported through the pandemic, because we went online.
I was going to ask that.
Oh, that's interesting. So it was online.
Even though it's a physical thing that, you know, they come in and they might want sort of physical support, it was really interesting how it worked, and it really did work online.
That's really
so we were able to keep them running.
Yeah, and we've had mums who've come in with their second and said, I had my first, and I only met you virtually, and I'm like, oh, you're 3D, you know.
And it's like a lot of those mums that we've also supported virtually have come back as peer supporters as well.
The peer support model is really interesting, actually. It's kind of... it's the idea that, you know, the best person to support you is someone that's been there and done that. But we also, the peer supporters have like a full training program that they have to go through with us to make sure that they...
they sort of stick to boundaries.
Kind of a continuity.
Because otherwise, if you've got all peer supporters telling completely different things, that's just going to sort it.
And a lot of the training is about, you know, we're not offering advice, and we're not telling women what to do. You know, we're saying this
about
is
their journey. It's very much sort of about the, you know, the mums and dads in front of them.
A lot of listening skills training. Being there to listen rather than telling them what to do, just actually listening.
Mums and dads come in. And they don't necessarily have like a huge issue that actually needs fixing. They just want to
offload.
And they just sit there, they'll have a good old cry. And, you know.
Not everybody cries, Rob. We're not in the business of making people cry. There's tears, and that's fine. We love the tears. It's
have
all
plenty
fine.
Of tissues, Kleenex tissues.
Exactly.
Good crying as well, obviously.
I mean, my little one's nearly three, and I still have really tough days with her, you know, in terms of she's now going through what they call the terrible twos, and like, and every area you can imagine, whether it's eating, etc., I still have issues. So I don't think it matters how old your child is, especially in the first few years. There's always something that people go, help, I need to offload, I need to get it off my chest. I think I had one of those days yesterday where nothing was going right with her, and it was literally I put her to bed and was like, I wish I could have offloaded someone today. Literally, I got to the end of the day and I could feel myself like a pressure cooker.
Mm.
And it's services like you where I could have gone along and said, you know, I just need to offload. So,
and often it's not just feeding, is it?
No, it's so many aspects.
And I think we really realised that during the pandemic, having these chats. I think it was sort of just a couple of hours session online, and people could dip in and out, stay in their pyjamas.
And
just offload their worries and what was going on. All parenting, all aspects of parenting.
Definitely. And now we see women who might have had their first baby in the pandemic and then they're having their second baby, and it brings up a lot of challenges as well, you know. There's a lot of feelings still hanging over from how things went the first time. And there's comparisons between what they're doing now and what they did the first time. And we also see mums who, you know, didn't have a successful breastfeeding journey with their first child and come back and want to have another go with their second, when I think, you know, when you have your first, there's so much to worry about, isn't there? And there's you know, you've got everything's new, everything's stressful, and so feeding might become one of those things where you think, I just can't, I'm gonna stop breastfeeding because it's just one more thing that I can't cope with. But then when you get to your second, you might feel a little bit more relaxed about other things, and you might think, right, this time I want to have another go.
Yeah, got my headspace.
They've got a lot of feelings about how it went the first time and then how it's going to go the second time. And
it's a highly emotional,
it's very
topic.
Emotional.
There is a whole process, and no matter how long you feed for, whether it's for how long you planned, if it's not, even if it all goes perfectly and you feed until you feel is right and then you stop, it's still a hugely emotional,
because that bonding as well, you've bonded during that time. It's almost like saying goodbye, not goodbye, but you know, you're kind of saying
different phases,
sort of
there's
like
grief, isn't there?
There's grief,
big drop in hormones.
Then you've got postpartum hormones, and then you've got your breastfeeding hormones,
and then you finish. But no, it's so lovely just to know there's somewhere locally that mums can go and dads can go to and say,
absolutely, dads.
Yes.
And we should get quite a few dads that come to the door and sort of almost deliver the partner and then say, oh, I'll be back in. And we're like, no, come in. You are integral to this whole breastfeeding journey.
Absolutely.
As well.
Definitely. And we do have some mums that come before they've had their baby as well, just to see what it's going to be like. And
that's a really good idea, actually. That's something that would be really, really useful, I think, for you know, antenatal journey, to just come. Because once you have your baby, it's all a bit overwhelming.
Well, that's conflicting
information.
Seeing where that support is, what it looks like.
And it's not the first time you've been then, is it? You're not having that whole anxiety of, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know what it's going to be like. You know, you've been, and it's nice for us if they'll come and they'll have a chat about what they want to do and what they hope to do. And then they come back a bit later and say, oh, he's my baby, and then we can support them. And that's really nice. It's lovely.
And they get to see the other mums there with their babies, and it all becomes a bit more real.
Oh, that's just
a great service.
It is. It really is.
Really,
really supportive.
You should know that that is there.
Not
just breastfeeding. I think that's really important that people understand as well. That you don't just have to be a breastfeeding parent to come along. Any feeding questions at all, you're equally supported.
Definitely.
All the parenting.
We run a couple of peer support training sessions a year.
So if you're interested in becoming a peer supporter, you know, if you've been to the cafe and then you want to get involved yourself.
It doesn't mean you need to be there every week. So we have some peer supporters that take, you know, a year break and then come back and maybe do one week a month or something.
We just ask for some commitment for the first sort of 6 months after you've trained. Because obviously we have to pay for the training. And being a charity, you know, everything we spend, we have to find funding for. So we would normally ask you, if you'd come along and do a training course, that you commit to some sessions. But then we have peer supporters that have sort of dipped in and out over years and years, haven't they? And they'll sort of say, I can't now do it because I'm working on that day. But then a year later, they might say, my shifts have changed, I want to come back, or I want to go to a different cafe. There's a whole network of people who've peer supported. And even if they've only done it for a year or so, and then they can't come back, there's still somebody else out there in the community, aren't they, that's had that training and that knowledge and can support their friends and their family.
It never finishes, does it? It's always like a knock-on effect, like you say.
Yeah.
And also word of mouth, because then they go away and they say, we heard about Cafe Milk. Yeah. I volunteered for them. I recommend them, and so it's word of mouth as well. Isn't
yeah,
it?
Really? That is how we get most of our visitors. I think really, we do a survey at the end of every year, and we also look at the sort of see how people are finding things and get some feedback and stuff. And it is overwhelmingly positive, isn't it? But we also look at the numbers of people who we've had through the door, and we compare that to like the birth rate in Surrey. Mm-hmm. So last year, I think it was 22% of mums came to one of our cafes.
Amazing.
So
it's really good.
Quite a lot really of mums good. That we're supporting, yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
But there's always people out there that we haven't reached, you know. Yeah. with Horley, if you are coming to Horley, we have every other week the room next door to us has the weighing clinic. So mums can come, they can come and weigh your baby and then come into Cafe Milk, which is fantastic. Amazing. It does also mean that's our really busy week. So a tip if you're in Horley is if you don't want to weigh your baby, have a look online at the dates there are and come the other week, because it's a little bit quieter and the atmosphere is a little bit more relaxed, because it can get quite busy on those weighing weeks, can't it?
But also very handy.
Yeah, very handy to do
both. I need to do both of these things. So, you know,
definitely. And with the health team being in the next room, if they see a mum who's struggling, they might say, oh, come next door.
Come next door. Let's have a chat.
The support we get from them is fantastic, isn't it?
Absolutely,
I say all working together, and it's just, like we said, it takes a village, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And it's just working together to provide everyone with that support, really.
Mm, and sometimes you come, you're not quite sure what the issue actually is.
Sometimes
we don't know what the issue is when we sit down, but we think there's something there that it's not quite right, and we'll have a chat and it'll come out.
It might be signposting to other services.
But at least I can walk away and feel better knowing, okay, I've made a start with this, and I feel so much better that I've spoken to someone. I've got a plan of action going ahead. I mean, I'm very much a planner. I'm very much, I feel really good when I've got something in place. Mm. So for me, I always had, if anything was wrong with any of my two, if I had a plan in action, I felt so much better. It was almost like having that control of it takes that anxiety away, thinking, okay, I've spoken to someone, I think I know what it is, but I've got a plan going ahead.
And if you're that kind of person, like especially maybe if you have that kind of job as well, where you've been super organised and things, and you have your baby, and all of a sudden you can't have a spreadsheet. You know, and for me, I was kind of like, how do I do this? Like, how do I actually? There's no rules to follow. There's no procedure, is there? And they're all different. And even when you've had one, and then you have another one, and you think, oh God, I thought I knew what I was doing, and this one's really different.
So funny you say. I used to be a personal assistant, so my daily job was very organised. Mm. I knew what I was doing. Had plans everywhere. So when I had my first, it was a complete shock, because I was like, I can't plan anything. He's not doing what I want him to do. I had it down at 10:20 exactly. He was due a feed. But it's now 11 o'clock and he's still not feeding. Oh. So for me, it was that real shift, mind shift of going from a daily life of planning to then something that's really you can't control.
Yeah, something that's much more responsive, isn't it? If I meet a mum who has like an app and tracks her feeds and things like that, I always ask what she does, because I'm just interested. Yeah. What was your job before you had your baby?
And it was a real struggle to get from, so somewhere like Cafe Milk would have been perfect for me, because I could have gone along and said, I'm struggling a bit here, to get from that mindset of just to being a bit more relaxed and being a bit more, getting support that way, I guess.
That reassurance.
We quite often get mums coming and dads coming with sort of grandparents as well, which is lovely. Or sometimes if you've been part of like an antenatal group, sometimes they, one of the cafes, we had a whole antenatal group come and they came every week, and it was their sort of social, and they came and had a cup of tea.
But you'd go around and there'd always be like at least 50% of them that also had an issue. Yes. So while they were having like their social gathering, they'd one by one they'd go and have a chat.
And
they'd
all be getting something from it.
I remember those days.
Well, what we will do is, in all of the kind of information that comes up on Spotify and things under this, is we'll do links to all the social media, the website, and things, so everyone knows where to find you. We'll put in what days you're in different places and stuff.
We'll put all the details in.
And we have a website cafemilk.org. If you have a look on the website, that's got all our information and when we're ringing and things.
And it's completely drop-in. No one ever needs to be ringing ahead. No, you don't need to worry about it's taking you a bit longer to get out of the house because it is difficult with the baby.
If you get out of the house in the first couple of weeks with your baby, we just, you know, celebrate the fact that you've done that. You know, it's fine. But if you do want to speak to a breastfeeding counsellor, because it can get quite busy sometimes, the earlier you can arrive, the better. Because we do try to see everybody that comes with an issue. Obviously, if you're turning up at 11:45 with a major issue, it's quite tricky for us to deal with. So yeah, if you want to speak to somebody, try to get there a bit earlier in the session, but we fully appreciate that, you know, that's not always possible with the new baby. And if you want to come socially just for, you know, just to drop in and meet other mums and things, then whenever you want to come is fine.
Brilliant. Older children, all of that, no worries about needing to find toys for toddlers.
And yeah, it's very, very relaxed. Yeah.
Sounds fab. Well, thank you for joining us today and sharing all that. And like Em says, we'll put all the details in. But thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Right, and we'll be back on very, very soon.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump the Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.